And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Man. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. Okay, so number one, Triple Dipper, they just don't care. I'm going to say it that way. They just don't care. There's an article in the Daily Wire, and the headline ought to catch your attention. Headline, how the dirty union greed is holding the American people hostage. There's a headline for you. That's kind of where we are right now. In case you've been, you know, just missing it, there's a strike that started yesterday. And this may feel like the kind of thing you're like, well, you know, people strike all the time. It's their right, isn't it? Collective bargaining and private industry and labor and union and stuff. Yeah. Guess what? A lot of times that's the kind of thing that can have a disruption. Sometimes it's more localized. I mean, does anybody really get totally disrupted if the Amazon call center goes on strike for a day in, you know, Bessemer, Alabama? Not really. But what we're talking about right now is over half the ports in the United States. From Maine all the way down the East Coast, down the coast of Florida, around the coast of Florida, into the Gulf Coast regions, and all the way around through Alabama, Louisiana, and Texas. 36 ports are now shut down. Over 45,000 dock workers are now on strike. What does that mean? What it also means is over 50% of the imports and exports that keep this nation's economy going are not getting unloaded. They're sitting on ships, which, by the way, are queuing up now off the coast. They're queuing up with no way of being offloaded. And those, by the way, those crews then have to sit there and camp out on their ship. They can't come ashore. They can't do anything. They have to just sit and wait. We have no idea how long it's going to last. It could be over tonight, or it could be over 6 weeks from now. Experts are saying that this particular strike could cost the American economy up to $4.5 billion a day. $4.5 billion a day. Now, something happened today that I was wondering about, and Butters, chime in here on this, because you being a Navy guy may have some knowledge of it, but the Navy Reserve, and the Army Reserves, they actually have port operations teams, correct?
Yes, there is some. We've atrophied a lot of those capabilities through the years, but
probably outsourced them to.
Outsourced most of that. But
so, Ron DeSantis came out. I've been wondering. I don't know that we even have enough robust capability, or for that matter, whether it even relates, because some of these things are going to be military specific, or they relate to military cargo ships. The on-off ramping, as opposed to the containerized, you know, shipping. But what I'm wondering is, does the military have any ability to relieve some of the ports that are stymied? Ron DeSantis believes they do, because Ron DeSantis today has activated National Guard assets and says he's going to be using them to assist with backlogging at port operations that are on strike in Florida. And I'm thinking, well, that's dynamic, first of all. It may wind up being symbolic as opposed to really, you know, an active, you know, relief motion. But
yeah,
what do you think?
That's definitely a good option. I'm trying to think. I've done some exercises that involved the teams that you go in after disaster relief and help, you know, stand up a port and do all those kind of things. And I forget exactly what. So if you guys are listening, I know we got obviously a lot of military folks of varied backgrounds, maybe the CBs and stuff like that that are out there to help. But
I don't know
on the National Guard side.
I guarantee you there's some technical skill involved with the container unloading and offloading, and the ability to get that done without accidents. And then at the same time, would they be insured? You know, all the things that the lawyers would get involved with. All I know is this. We are looking at the entire nation right now being held hostage. And so here's a piece from the Daily Wire. It says, over the years, various presidents have had to tangle with the dock workers in their unions. Some of these presidents, like FDR and Obama, granted the dock workers massive concessions. Other presidents, like George W. Bush, went to court and ended the strikes that were costing the economy billions of dollars. But no administration, they say, in the history of this country has ever adopted the approach that Biden-Harris administration is now taking. Yesterday, we played a soundbite. You know what? We might even want to play it again. Can you find yesterday's soundbite? The guy, Harold Daggett, the head of the International Labor Longshoremen's Association. It may wind up being after the break that we get to play it, but the reality is this guy, Harold Daggett, is a thug, and he's a mouthy thug. And he's also, by the way, a ostentatious, in-your-face, mouthy thug. Gold chain, the whole thing. And when he gets up there and he starts screaming about how he's going to shut us down, he's going to lock us up, he's going to cripple the economy, and he means it. They just don't care about what it does to anybody else. Now, this article from the Daily Wire points out there's no rational argument going on right now. There's not. We don't have anything that's out there that's saying dock workers deserve higher salaries because they can't make ends meet or because they're doing such a great job or because they're so efficient for that matter. What they're saying is they just want higher salaries. They had an offer of a 50% pay increase from the management side. The employers on the docks were offering a 50% across-the-board pay increase, which, by the way, when the West Coast threatened to strike, they got a 35% pay increase. Right now, the dock workers under Daggett are holding out for a 77% pay increase. They want to earn $69 an hour. They want what's called container royalties, which means you give them money for containers that come off even on days they're not at work because they get paid because they just are on the payroll. And then they also want a complete ban on automation. What that basically means is don't you ever improve efficiencies. Don't you dare bring in something that would automate any of our services, even though automation still requires human supervision. We have some of the least efficient ports globally right now. We do. Partly because of unions. In fact, I would say, dare say, mostly because of unions. And they want a ban on technology to make us less efficient. And the Biden administration, just this morning, and I'm going to get into it right after the break, but the Biden administration this morning came out and endorsed the union position. What? Yes. You're looking at something that is literally going to create stoppages in the supply chain, have empty shelves in stores, is going to potentially create an inflationary spike, and is going to devastate businesses, but they really, really, really need the union vote right now. And so they don't want to upset them. So what'd they do? They came out and said, yeah, we fully endorse the union position. As an administration, they did that. Oh my gosh. I got more on this. In fact, I'm going to curl your hair when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, hour number two, how did that even happen? Got some text messages and a phone call, and then I got some stuff I got to cover. So I will say this, big deal from Hartzell. Big deal from Hartzell. He's got a little problem today. He says, all the conservative radio does is talk, throwing in some scripture here and there. If people were as passionate about protecting their country, their family, their way of life as much as they are about a college football team, maybe things wouldn't be as bad as they are. America and the world's become so filthy and sinful, and the judgment of Almighty God is coming. Man, big deal. Come back to the light, brother. I'm not saying that God doesn't have an opinion on this stuff or that he might not actually judge us as a nation, but You can walk around like that, stamping your feet and being mad at the world, but I'm pretty sure that you're better off actually getting busy. Let me jump on that phone call. What you got?
I would like, just for the record, why I chose Navy is because I've watched maybe five snaps of football. So
Did you just change the subject on me?
No. He's saying we're so passionate about college football teams.
Oh, gotcha. Now I see where you're
at. I'm not very passionate about college football teams, and here I am on talk radio. So
nice. Let me jump on the phone real quick before I jump back into my materials. Jeff Rowe from Indiana is calling in early. Jeff, what are you doing, pray tell?
Well, pray tell, I'm going down the road, not making near as much money as dock workers.
Nah, ain't that the truth? Oh, my gosh. $69 an hour is what they need to get by in today's economy, apparently.
Yeah. Well, let's look at what we've got here, Phil. A union, workers' union, is basically a business. and their product is providing labor. Hmm. What is Kamala Harris's, one of the main things that Kamala Harris is up for right now, one of her main doctrines right now?
What?
Price gouging.
Price, oh yeah, exactly.
Price gouging.
Thank you.
Price gouging.
Great point. Great point.
So isn't this basically price gouging for labor?
It's price gouging, and it's also going to cause price increases in the stores. How about that?
Yeah, exactly. Because I can, it's like you say with unions and everything, you know, it was a good thing once upon a time, but now it's just almost become a you know, where they just hold your feet to the fire and everything, and, you know, you're going to work our way or you're not going to work at all. But the thing about it is, you know, I guarantee that I can get non-union workers to do that job at a lower cost and more efficiency than what these union workers are working right now, because they've become basically they're padded. My son is a union worker. He's a union working in a union, and he can't believe what all he can. He's never worked in a union before, but he can't believe what they can get by with now. And basically, just if they ask you to do something, just tell them to go take a hike, you know, and they won't do nothing to them. You can't be fired. You can't, you know. He says he's never seen anything like it.
Yeah, it's there has been a time and a place in the past, mostly, when unions were needed, and then very often today it just seems like they're contrary to the American dream. They do just the opposite of what we call the free market and growing the economy.
Unions were needed when we had laws that didn't protect the workers. Hmm. And now we have laws to protect the workers, so unions are basically no longer needed.
Well, we'll see where this one goes. In the meantime, where are you right now, by the way? You're not all the way in Nashville already, are you?
Oh, I wish I would. No, I'm about 50 miles south of Nashville.
All right.
That way.
Well, be careful on the road, dude. I got to get through some material here real quick. We'll talk to you soon.
Good, Phil.
See you, buddy. So Kamala Harris did endorse dock workers, just so you know. Daily Wire, Dateline today. Vice President Kamala Harris has sided Wednesday with dock workers who launched a massive strike this week threatening to cripple the economy. This strike is about fairness, Harris said. Foreign-owned shipping companies have made record profits and executive compensation has grown. The longshoremen who play a vital role transporting essential goods across America deserve a fair share of these record profits.
So she's not going to be a president for all Americans.
Apparently not. Let's talk about who she's a president for. You got that sound clip of Harold Daggett? One Harold Daggett is the head of the International Longshoremen's Association. Daggett had some comments to say that were pretty significant about how he feels. In fact, I'll just say right now, he doesn't care. Go ahead.
Let me explain something to you. These people today don't know what a strike is.
Right.
When my men hit the streets, from Maine to Texas, every single port will lock down. You know what's going to happen? I'll tell you. First week, be all over the news every night, boom, boom. Second week, guys who sell cars can't sell cars because the cars ain't coming in off the ships. They get laid off. Third week, malls start closing down. They can't get the goods from China. They can't sell clothes. They can't do this. Everything in the United States comes on a ship. They go out of business. Construction workers get laid off because the materials aren't coming in. The steel's not coming in. The lumber's not coming in. They lose their job. Everybody's hating the longshoremen now because now they realize how important our jobs are. Now I have the president screaming at me, I'm putting a Taft Hartley on you. Go ahead. Taft Hartley means I have to go back to work for 90 days. That's a cooling off period. Do you think when I go back for 90 days, those men are going to go to work on that pier? It's going to cost the money, the company's money to pay their salaries. Well, they went from 30 moves an hour maybe to 8. They're going to be like this. Who's going to win here in the long run? You're better off sitting down and let's get a contract and let's move on with this world. And in today's world, I'll cripple you. I will cripple you, and you have no idea what that means.
No. I will cripple you. I will cripple you, says the thug head of the union. I'll cripple you, says the guy who sounds like a clone of a mafia character from a bad movie. Cripple you. And if and so what was he talking about, Taft Hartley? The Biden administration has an option right now. They do. They have tools in their toolbox. They have a thing called the Taft-Hartley Act that allows for the administration to invoke the powers delegated to the executive branch by Congress in the event of a strike within a private sector union that has the risk of impacting national security or overall economy. All they have to do is invoke the Taft-Hartley Act. He mocks it. He could care less. Let him. What's it mean to me? I just don't care. I don't, you know, I'm sure I'm making an offer you can't refuse. Don't you know how I am? I'm the head of the ILA. Hey, we got it going on. We're going to cripple you. Taft-Hartley would require an 80 to 90 day cooling off period and a demand by government under the threat of law that the two parties have to go back to the table and negotiate. His point was, you do it, and my guys will go and be lazy, and we'll just work a little bit, and you'll have to pay our full salaries, and we might unload 8 a day instead of 30. That's his response. He could care less, or he could not care less, about the law, or for that matter, about the rest of the economy. What are you thinking?
I think he looks like he's not that far away from a possibility of a heart attack, and I sure hate for the first responders that are going to come try to save his life to take that same attitude that he's got.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are important, so understand that. Wow, that's a...
There was a time when, and by the way, I got to say this, 1819 News has a story. They ran it today. They talked to the head of a logistics and diversion company called Page & Jones, based out of Mobile. The Port of Mobile is a big deal. Big deal to Alabama's economy. 150 workers down there are now on strike. But they point out, this Page & Jones company says that making adjustments to try and divert cargo to other ports, because the West Coast ports are still open, is very difficult. Some of this stuff's already been laid on for months. I mean, it's not like this happens overnight. Some cargo has been diverted to the West Coast. Right before we went on the air, I did see a headline, I've not read the article, that the West Coast port workers are in solidarity with the East Coast, are saying they will not unload diverted ships. Can you imagine? Ships show up and they'll decide which ones are going to unload. They'll just decide. So what they're saying in this article from 1819 is, you're going to start seeing things diverted to Mexican ports and then railed in. You're going to see things diverted to air traffic, which costs more. You're going to see all kinds of things happening that do nothing but drive up the cost for the consumer. But there was a time, though, there was a time when the government took the position that the greater good was what was required. The Biden-Harris administration and the Harris campaign have decided today that they side with those whose votes they need. They side with those who are going to destroy the economy. That guy said it himself, I'll cripple you. I'll cripple you. Could care less about who all he lists. He listed the automobile sellers losing their jobs, the construction guys losing their jobs. He could care less, or could not care less. But the reality is, the Biden-Harris administration just sided with the thug over all of us. And that should make a lot of America mad right now. And rightfully so. But there was a time when leadership said, that is not the way we're going to operate. There was a time when Ronald Reagan was in office that the air traffic controllers decided they could do what they wanted to do. And Reagan stepped in and did something that nobody thought he would do. You know why? Because he was a leader who had the greater good in mind. When we get back from this break, I'll tell you all about it. Let's take the break there, Butterman. We'll come back, and I got a clip from Ronald Reagan. It's the kind of thing that just makes you hearken back to the days when there was a real leader in the White House. Good Lord. Can we get back there again, please? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, giving you all the truth you could put on a bumper sticker. So I'm gonna try to wade my way through the last few minutes of this first dipper. They just don't care is what I called it. And you heard the thug talk about how the dock workers just don't care. Now, I will say this. I am not opposed to people saying we believe that we deserve a pay raise. Listen, do it. Can anybody explain to me how that translates into a 77% pay raise and a demand, oh, by the way, a demand that they also cannot bring in automations, which makes the ports more efficient. That's not the way the world works. And nothing about that means the rest of us should have to live, you know, without, so that you can shut down a whole section of the economy and make demands that are just not reasonable nor realistic, especially when you just turned down a 50% pay raise. We're having trouble feeling sorry for you now. Listen, there was a time, though, when Ronald Reagan was in office, August 1981. August 1981, the air traffic controllers around the nation decided, as a members of the Professional Air Traffic Controllers Organization, they were going on strike. Now, here's the thing. I'm going to go ahead and tell you there's some dynamics that are in play that make what I'm about to tell you different. They were considered to be government workers, and they were, by the way, negotiating with a government entity, not the TSA, what was the name of it? The Federal Aviation Administration. It was a different set of circumstances, in essence. But what Ronald Reagan also did was side with the greater good, the greater American public. He literally came out in a manner that they did not expect and invoked a law that was his right to fire them all. And he did. He literally fired them all under law that had been passed just for this purpose, saying that it was illegal for government workers to shut down government in and of themselves and strike. Ronald Reagan said, not on my watch. And he sided with the American people, even though by his own admission, he's a former union guy himself. You got that sound clip, Butters? We got a couple minutes here, so let's go ahead and play it.
This morning at 7 a.m., the union representing those who man America's air traffic control facilities called a strike. This was the culmination of 7 months of negotiations between the Federal Aviation Administration and the union. At one point in these negotiations, agreement was reached and signed by both sides, granting a $40 million increase in salaries and benefits. This is twice what other government employees can expect. It was granted in recognition of the difficulties inherent in the work these people perform. Now, however, the union demands are 17 times what had been agreed to, $681 million. This would impose a tax burden on their fellow citizens, which is unacceptable. I would like to thank the supervisors and controllers who are on the job today helping to get the nation's air system operating safely. In the New York area, for example, 4 supervisors were scheduled to report for work and 17 additionally volunteered. At National Airport, a traffic controller told a news person he had resigned from the union and reported to work because, quote, how can I ask my kids to obey the law if I don't, end quote. This is a great tribute to America. Let me make one thing plain. I respect the right of workers in the private sector to strike. Indeed, as president of my own union, I led the first strike ever called by that union. I guess I'm maybe the first one to ever hold this office who is a lifetime member of an AFL-CIO union. But we cannot compare labor-management relations in the private sector with government. Government cannot close down the assembly line. It has to provide without interruption the protective services which are government's reason for being. It was in recognition of this that the Congress passed a law forbidding strikes by government employees against the public safety. Let me read the solemn oath taken by each of these.
I'll stop it there simply because I'm running out of time. He makes the classic point that he is not lacking in empathy nor understanding. He also clarifies that he is talking about government workers, and I want to make sure that everybody hears me say, I know we're talking about government workers in the Reagan example. We are talking about private sector now with the dock workers, and I get that. And I don't negate the ability for these folks to ask for a pay raise. But what I am looking at, though, in the Reagan situation that I think applies now is a recognition that what is for the greater good, that he's the president of the United States, and he recognizes that we cannot cripple our economy. We cannot allow one small group to hold the rest of the world at bay simply because they want more. Today, we had the Biden-Harris administration side with the union to shut down a huge section of our economy, to create a $5 billion a day loss to the economy, to put people out of work and run businesses out of business simply because they want the union vote. And the union's response was, they just don't care. All they really want is what's theirs. They just want something, or they'll cripple you, or they'll cripple you, or they'll cripple you. Let that sink in. When you start seeing toilet paper not on the shelves, when you start seeing you can't get produce in your grocery store, when you start seeing prices go up, just remember, somewhere there's a dock worker who decided he was more important than you, and the President of the United States agreed. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Coming up next, Butters and Lee.